Good morning and welcome, everyone. Today is July 6, 2017. This is the Josephine County Board of Commissioners convening for our weekly business session. Today's Thursday. We didn't have a quorum yesterday, so we're going to start off with the Pledge of Allegiance like we always do. So please rise. Gentlemen, remove your hats and get underway. Clear your throat. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I was wondering if Commissioner DeYoung called in security this morning for some particular reason. Then I get to see the agenda. We're going to start off with recognition of employees. We've got three today to recognize, only two of which are here. David King is Community Corrections, and he's celebrating 15 years of service this week. So we wanted to thank him. He's not here today. But we have two that are. We have Mr. Fields, Ernie Fields, in the Sheriff's Office. He's our current Marine Deputy. And then Christopher Watson of the Sheriff's Office for 15 years. So Ernie's done 25, and Chris is done 15. So why don't you guys come up with your sheriff, and Commissioner DeYoung, you can help facilitate the honors. We've got certificates. So Ernie's 25-year pin and his certificate. And then Mr. Watson's 15.
And 15-year certificate. Oh, you spelled your name right. Great.
Okay.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for your service.
Yes.
You guys have been around a long time, so... Well, this is your chance to kind of embarrass them a little bit, Sheriff.
Sheriff.
So, yeah, absolutely.
Good seeing you. Thanks.
Easier to embarrass them.
No, I don't go anywhere yet, guys.
Well, between the three of you guys, I'm sure you have a ton of stories.
Well, as some of you don't know, and you said a Marine Deputy, he is still a Marine Deputy,
yeah.
Of course. This is now Sergeant Fields after 25 years. I think he certainly has earned that. Chris Watson, our deputy, was our civil deputy for almost 13 years,
yeah.
Serving papers on in a grinding job. That is, he is now a full-fledged deputy as well.
Excellent.
Fighting for the citizens of Josephine County. It's not every day something like this happens, and I'll try to make this short and sweet, but you talk about an agency that's really gone through a lot of turmoil, a lot of trials, a lot of tribulations from the you know, having money back in the 80s to not having any money into the 2000s. But here's a couple guys that have stuck with it. And there's a lot to say for that. This day and age, you know, the average law enforcement officer will leave a career about three times and go to different places and jump around. So to have this longevity and this tenure in the organization is incredible, it's admirable, it's remarkable is what it is. So on behalf of the Sheriff's Office, obviously the Board of County
Absolutely.
Commissioners, thank you, Chris, for sticking around this long. We hope to have you a lot longer. I know you got a lot of things you can do for this organization still. And Ernie, perfect. Keep doing what you're doing. Most respected Marine Deputy, Marine Sergeant now in the state, without question, as far as training and leading that team as well. So thank you, gentlemen, both very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, everyone. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Definitely. Both of those guys, something that I'll say as they're walking out the door is that they oftentimes are one of, well, you're the only person out there either on the river a lot of times or one serving papers. It sounds like a simple job, but it's anything but. You're taking a lot of risks when you're going to people's homes and you don't necessarily what's on the other side of the door. People aren't necessarily expecting you sometimes. And my only experience with anything close other than the stories that I've heard Mr. Watson and Fields talk about was doing census work in 2000. And you just don't know when you're going door to door what you're going to experience. And then Sergeant Fields out there on the rivers and patrolling really challenging situations where people are having a good time, sometimes doing the right thing, and then sometimes not doing the right thing, and having to search for people in recreational situations where everything didn't go real well. He makes it as positive as possible, and I've heard really good things from constituents for both of those guys. So really appreciate their service. We're going to go through our short administrative calendar. Did you have anything?
Yeah, I also want to recognize David King. He's not in attendance today, but he's 15 years in community corrections, and community corrections is that's going to be a tough job in my mind. You pull somebody over out of the field, you might get a nice guy once in a while, but in community corrections, you're getting a guy that's not real happy to be where he is, and you got to put up with that. So 15 years, that's a long haul.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine, some people work their whole life to stay out of jail, and I can't imagine going to work out of jail every day, in corrections. So great job. Community corrections is... It's a big job. It's just part of the system here at Josephine County that I think works very well with the limited resources that they've had for a number of years.
Well, they make a big difference in that they supervise almost 1,000 people that are not in jail, and where it costs somebody about $100 a day to be behind bars, it's a lot less expensive, and hopefully they get a chance with good correction officers to steer their life around where they don't have to spend a lot of time behind bars. So they do incredible work every day. So we have got a short administrative calendar here today. Commissioner Morgan is not in attendance. We've got item 2A, which is approval of order number 2017-030 in the matter of authorization of sale of county real property by sheriff's sale. And we have Mr. Watson, I don't believe of any relation, to present on that. We've got a sale process that we've kind of refined over time. And if he wants to come forward and kind of lead us through this, I'd appreciate that. This is just, it's the one formal step, but in a series of a lot of steps in order for us to get to this point. And so if you wouldn't mind kind of leading us through that, we'd sure appreciate it.
Absolutely. Good morning, Commissioners. Mike Watson, Real Property Manager of Josephine County. This is the beginning, but this will be our fourth public auction, sheriff's auction of tax foreclosed or excess properties within the last year and a half. We've been running along at quite a breakneck speed, and I'm very pleased with our results.
Yeah.
We're doing some really good work in this program, I believe. Our next auction I have slated for August the 8th. We've had 12 properties remaining from our auction on April 25th that did not sell. No one came forth with the minimum bid. I have received a number of phone calls after the auction with individuals wishing to purchase those, for which we did have an opportunity, but we have elected to move these into this upcoming auction. In addition to those 12 properties, I have added an additional 13. All of these have gone through the process of being dedicated based on ORS to either forestry or Parks and Recreation, and they have all gone through the process of alienation for sale, which just means, yes, we can move forward. It's like you said, Commissioner Hare, there's a number of steps. We've gone through all the steps, and this is yet one additional step, and I would say this is the culminating step in order to move forth and sell these properties. In regards to this particular list that we're putting out, I will be publicizing on our county website tomorrow. If the commissioner signed this order, 2017-030, so that the public can begin to become aware. Additionally, we will advertise this list of properties in the Daily Courier for 4 consecutive weeks as required by law beginning Wednesday. I also will be publicizing at least one time in the Cave Junction newspaper as well. Get the word out as best possible. I have one really interesting property that I'd like to point out here. We acquired this property. It's identified on Ridgecrest Drive, which is only 5.3 miles from where I stand. It is a 60-acre parcel, and it is zoned as RR5. So I'm not in planning, but I can say multiple home sites are available for that particular site. Additionally, the county owns the roadway that leads into this, so it is not a landlocked parcel. In fact, it's surrounded by very nice homes of size. So this would be a highly developable piece of property. And I'm really excited about what's going to transpire with that property. It currently has a value of $400,000. To a developer, that would be a drop in the bucket, in my opinion, based upon what they can turn around and produce and get all of that onto the county tax rolls. Of these additional 13 properties we're adding, three of them are dedicated to forestry. The remainder are dedicated to parks and recreation, meaning that's where the proceeds from sale go to. When it goes to parks and recreation, it's used to improve and embellish or increase the value and public enjoyment of our current parks properties. So I want to mention one other thing. One of the problems that I've run across in the previous three sales is that individuals will call me, say, hey, I'm really interested in this property. I have to go talk to mom and dad, or I have to see if I can come up with funds. Most of the time, those folks don't come to auction because of the difficulty in coming up with a lump sum, because we have always previously sold with a 20% down of the minimum bid, and within 2 days, the remaining 80% plus reporting fees are due. Not everybody has a pocket of cash that they can do that. So I'm really excited in moving forward, and I'll be speaking with the commissioners later this afternoon as we hopefully codify an opportunity to provide financing through a land sales contract. It's intended to only be a bridge loan. It's intended to allow individuals who did not have an opportunity to participate in the auction process to now get in and pick up a nice piece of property that they can do something with in the future. Financing would not go beyond 5 years, so that gives them time to get stuff together or to refinance. It's just simply meant as a bridge to move forward. And we'll be speaking about that again this afternoon.
How do these properties get to us? How do they get to this point? In other words, where do they come from?
Well, the vast majority of them are through property tax foreclosure. Back in the 30s and 40s, I've seen some deeds, foreclosure deeds, that have included as many as 600 to 700 properties. Many times back in those days, I believe people would come in, purchase a tract, particularly forest land, strip the lumber out, take the timber, and then walk away. They made their money on the timber. Why stick around and pay the taxes? So they'd let it fall to foreclosure. It takes 6 years of non-payment of property taxes before a property goes into foreclosure. And there's multiple notices, individuals, we really reach out to the individual owners because, frankly, we don't want these properties. They just become a burden on the system. They're not contributing to our tax base. Oftentimes, it can fall to nefarious situations such as dumping. In the Courier, we've seen a number of articles in the last couple of weeks about dumping in our forest properties. We need to get these back into the public's hands. But we did obtain most of those through foreclosure.
Okay, thank you. I think that pretty much covers the highlights. So thank you very much. I think that was pretty comprehensive.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Item number 2B is approval of order number 2017-033 in the matter of establishment of the Josephine County Cannabis Advisory Committee. This is a long time in the making. I believe Commissioner Walker had started this process and was it went back and forth between whether or not the board endorsed the idea. Ultimately, the last board chose to wait. I kind of recommended that they wait and we establish this committee after the new board took office and had an opportunity to see whether or not there would be any efficacy to establishing that board. I think we've reached the conclusion that there are certain things that we would like to at least hear from them on policy that we may or may not craft here in the future. And I think today or tomorrow, Might be the last day of the legislature, so we'll kind of have an idea specifically of what conclusions they have made reached with their legislative activity as far as cannabis is concerned. But the basics of this is that they'll serve two-year terms, so we're just getting it kind of started, maybe for longer, but right now it's just for two-year terms, up to 9 members, and we're really looking at a broad spectrum of the community that we can liaison with and kind of hear best ideas, some concerns that they have. I know that I've received several emails, probably one a day in the last couple of weeks on average, about the cannabis issue, the grows happening, and a lot of times it's in rural residential, that conflict, where you've got almost industrial size grows happening right in neighborhoods. And so that's conflict, and we're trying to move some stuff forward to resolve that here in the near future. But I think it's really good that we'd have an opportunity to bounce those things off of a committee, and establishing that sooner rather than later is what we're planning on trying to do. So we'll be advertising for filling those 9 spots right after if we approve that here today. Anything further, Commissioner?
Yeah, well, I've been getting a lot of calls from concerned citizens out in the county, I've also been talking to a lot of growers, regarding our exploratory question that came out of the May ballot. So there's a lot of concern on both sides of the fence, and this is going to be a tough one for commissioners. It's going to be a tough one for anybody, along that line, because somewhere along the line, you're not going to be able to please all of everybody and everybody that, some people, it's surrounding them, they don't like it. Some people say, I wish it was all here. So it's going to be tough, and I just want to forewarn everybody out there that no matter what this comes up, we're trying to bring in as many ideas from as many different angles as we possibly can on this thing, because at the end of the day, Measure 91 made it legal, so we have that to contend with. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, and I'm looking forward to the 9 people, because I've had some folks call.
Yeah,
I talked to a couple of them yesterday that were very interested in people that are in the industry, but that I consider, somebody that isn't one-sided. They're in it as a business rather than a culture. So I'm looking for it. I think it's a great idea. Commissioner Morgan has, expressed a real interest in this all the way through her campaign, and I'm glad it was that the present commissioners found it within their powers to say, let's move forward on this. And I think the timing is perfect because, as Chairman said, that the legislature's, they're wrapping things up in Salem, so we'll have some kind of idea what changes they made, this year. So I think the timing is just absolutely right for this. We can get something going before the next grow season so that everybody knows going in, they don't have a bunch of money in the ground and have to tear them all back up because the state rules.
We also asked a non-binding question this last May,
yeah,
and that was pretty definitive. 65% or so said that it would be okay to prohibit recreational grows or commercial grows in residential areas. We have a lot of fallow ag land in Josephine County. I think when we did the pilot project study, there was about 20,000 arable acres in Josephine County that was underutilized for agricultural purposes. The legislature's deemed marijuana, cannabis, is an agricultural commodity, and it really seems like that would be the best place for it to be cultivated and grown and processed and that sort of thing. So we want to endorse that's an industry that's here in Josephine County thriving and doing well and has a lot of potential to give back to the community both economically. And so I think we need to make sure that we're not looked at as being anti, but at the same time, there's ways to do it better, and there's a reason for zones and regulations to make sure that everybody kind of can get along as best as possible. So that's what we're doing here today. That's item number 2B, order number 2017-033. We're going to move into item number 3, which is requests and comments from citizens. 3 minutes. I think everybody in the room pretty much knows the rules. We've got a little bit of a small crowd here today, so feel free, just raise your hand or whatever, not all at once. If you have something to say, Mr. Ford, come on up.
Larry Ford, 136 Fairwood Ranch Pass. I don't know that you really appreciate the ambassador that Ernie is on the river. as someone who over the years has spent a great deal of time there, every time I've had any interaction with him, it's always been pleasant. I know other people, guides, people who use the river a lot that are very respectful of him because he does that to you as a citizen. You know, he's always friendly, he's fair, and so I think he's a real asset to the county, and it should be recognized that the job he does is tough at times, but he does it very well. The second thing is, I think this cannabis forum is a good idea. There are a lot of ideas out there. I think that as a representative of Josie and Saltwater Conservation District, we have met with people on both sides of the cannabis growth, those that are against it, those that are doing a good job. There is a lot of people out there that probably aren't. But the ones that come to us, the ones we've talked to, seem to be respectful of land, and they try their best to be respectful of the community they're in. And I think a lot of good can come from that. But you're right, it's going to be a very, very tough go at the start. And I think that hopefully you'll get some really good representatives on that board, and they'll do a great job. We need to get along. And it's an industry that's not going away. It's going to be here for a long time, probably forever. And I think that if we work hard at it and we get some rules in place, it can be a good thing, but it's going to be tough. You've got a real job ahead of you. And the last one is that, you know, over the time I've been here coming to these meetings, it seems like there are certain things that the board does very well, and I believe that the timber tearing down the Dimmick Tower. We now have a property manager who's managing these projects and getting them moved forward, and I think that needs to be one of the things as a BCC you guys do. I know there is the sewer district out in the Merlin area. I think it becomes time that you get people that do that for a living. That's their job. You guys have a lot to do, and I know in the past it's been, the board has tried to work through some of these things. I'm sure there's some other projects that I'm not aware of, but I think the past has proven that the best way to do those is to get a manager or a company that specializes in the things that we need done in the county, and we get them moving forward, and it's got to be the best way to do it. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ford. Anyone else? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board. Thank you for making those points, Mr. Ford, real quick. The Cannabis Advisory Committee, I think, is pretty important. The challenge that I hear every time I talk to a constituent is, you guys need to do this. And inevitably, the thing that they're requesting us to do, we don't have the authority to do. Taxing it locally, we're exploring that, but really the Measure 91 and the legislature have really not given the county the tools in the tool chest to affect a whole lot of change just locally. And so the few things that we can do, most of the time we've taken positive steps so far. We haven't really been doing any restrictive, but we are looking at and refining the lighting element, the fence requirements, if we can do those effectively here locally, but also that RR, the zoning restriction, doing as much as we can. We really can't affect too much over the Oregon right to farm, as it's an agricultural commodity. I think some of the Williams group were talking about the large commercial grows putting down aggregate over prime farmland when they site a greenhouse. Yeah, that's probably the same method that they use up in the Willamette Valley that gets a lot more rain than we do down here, and so that you can work on a greenhouse year-round. There's going to be infill of aggregate, and the nursery industry, for example, is the leading agricultural industry in the state of Oregon. And so the Oregon right to farm is pretty clear about a farmer's ability to farm and do ag processes on their land how they see fit, as long as it's in conjunction with that ag processing. And so there might be some minor things that we could probably do as far as runoff and total impermeable surfaces on a piece of property, which we are exploring. But otherwise, it's really kind of up to the farmer, the producer, how they want to do things. Also, your point about the projects that we've had success with, it really does take, there's certain expertise on the Board of Commissioners Commissioner DeYoung and Commissioner Morgan are the seventh and eighth commissioners that I've served with in 6.5 years. And everybody brings something to the table, but nobody has that. Well, obviously, there really hasn't been a lot of continuity other than myself, really, in 6.5 years. That Dimmick campus project took over 3, and we're still working on it. We're removing an additional tank and doing some asbestos pipe insulation remediation still currently in the A Street building. That's been going on for years under the same grant authority, but if you don't have somebody who holds that baton and can at least have, you know, a liaison from the board as a policy driver the whole time, it may not be the next board's priority that happened, and like it wasn't the previous board's priority with maintaining the roof. You know, we maintain infrastructure really well now because it's a priority for us. But what happens if it's the next board and it's not their priority? You lose that continuity, and that can be really damaging. We take 3 steps forward and 4 steps back or something like that. It's we suffer because we don't have that central administration. When I took office in 2011, we did have a CFO, Rosemary Padgett, and she held the baton on establishing our property reserve and some other things that we've done that have served us really, really well. I tried to do Mike Watson's job for the first 3 or 4 years that I was here and was barely treading water and ability to keep things, but I was not able to implement the processes that he's done really successfully. We have close to $1 million reserve in our parks department for capital and grant matching opportunities, whereas before when I took office, they were $300,000 in the hole. We were contemplating closing all of our park systems and our fair and public health. And so you're absolutely right. It's people like Mr. Watson who have led the charge and gotten these things done in a real positive way. And it really takes somebody to keep the lights on to maintain those processes. Otherwise, they just slip away and they're not the priority. So the real point of what I wanted to say is that we have a limited number of things that we can do, but we're going to have this committee, and I think that's going to help us along and getting us focused on what's tangibly positive that we can affect here in the county. So, anything, Commissioner Young?
Yeah, I just think that the cannabis committee is really going to open the eyes on both sides, because nobody's going to win all the way. The needle's never going to swing full reach either way. So in the middle, you've got to get, you know, I've mentioned it to the cannabis community when I was on the campaign trail. Out the way in there, I says, you know, I'm waiting for a lot of the cannabis, and I was on city council. We'd have issues about cannabis, and the room would be packed full of people telling me that it doesn't smell, no noise, no barking dogs, no gunfire in the middle of the night. There's no, absolutely nothing going on. It's just I'm just growing watermelons and so on and so forth. But yet, I want them to take ownership of some of the problems that they have. You know, when the timber industry was here, they took ownership of the fact that the mills ran all night long and they were noisy and emitted light and noise all night long. So they ran 3 shifts. They ran day, swing, and graveyard. And there were mills all over, and each one of them had a wigwam, and each wigwam was burning 24/7, filling the valley full of smoke. So we've come an awful long way in my lifetime of making it, you know, a nice place to live, because I can almost guarantee if you're growing cannabis back then, you wouldn't have been able to smell that it smelled different because of the amount of wood smoke that was in the air. And I lived east of the hop yards down here. When they came to you know, get ready to harvest the hop farms, they had a pretty good odor that cast off from them also, as did Martha Allers Mint Farms out there. So, you know, those are all things that we're going to have to take ownership of, and how can, if there's ways to alleviate them, I think the industry needs to respond to that. And if they're, you know, whatever they're allowed to do. But one of the highest restricted areas of zoning that we have is residential. You just don't put a resident anywhere. So, you know, there's some uses that need to be taken into consideration here. I've got friends of mine that have, you know, completely surrounded by cannabis grows after they built the house of their dreams. And now they're completely surrounded. They feel like they're almost being driven out. And that is it. Isn't here. We welcome everybody in Grosvenor County. So it's going to be a tough one, but I think we've got a good. I think the commission's, you know, got enough breadth that it's going to be able to listen to everybody and get something sorted out. I'm I'm not anxious, but I'm hoping it happens soon.
We're going to lean into it pretty hard this summer.
I think so.
We need to get it finished up and ready to, well, at least at a point.
And I can almost guarantee out of 100 people, there are probably 3 that will be happy. They got everything they wanted. The other 97 they're not going to be happy with us in any way, shape, or form because it didn't go all their way. And I can tell you right now, it isn't going to go all anybody's way.
Well, ideally, and that includes us, I really wish we didn't have to deal with this.
Yeah.
So I didn't really anticipate that. Except 6 years ago when I got elected, that Measure 91 was going to come around.
Yep, who'd have thought?
All righty, the administrative calendar. Item number 2A is approval of order number 2017-030 in the matter of authorization of sale of county real property by Sheriff Sale.
I make a motion that item 2A, order number 2017-030 be adopted.
I'll second that. Any further discussion? Just want to thank Mr. Watson. We've got our legal team. We've got Brad and Environmental Health who goes out and inspects these. There's just a whole host, the assessor's office, tax office. There's a whole team of people that has to work on this. It's not a simple item. It's pretty complicated. So appreciate everybody who works on this. Please call the roll.
Commissioner DeYoung?
Yes.
Commissioner Hare?
Yes. Motion carries 2-0. Item number 2B is approval of order number 2017-033 and the matter of establishment of the Josephine County Cannabis Advisory Committee.
Make a motion item 2B, order number 2017-033 be approved.
Second. Any further discussion?
Nope.
Please call the roll.
Commissioner DeYoung?
Yes.
Commissioner Hare?
Yes. Motion carries 2-0. Item number 4 is approval of the consent calendar. It's made up of various minutes of the Board of Commissioners meetings. Item number 4B is order number 2017-031 in the matter of renaming a county department. Those of you who have been around our administrative meetings and other things, when we reference our facilities department, historically it's been called Building Operations and Maintenance, which is probably more reflective of everything that they do in that office to maintain nearly 500,000 square feet of office and other spaces. We have an aging infrastructure in our jail. It's coming up on 20 years old and various other departments, while the 100-year-old courthouse and other such things manages all those major projects in a year. But unfortunately, it's really not popular to be referring to a department or anything as BOM is the acronym in a meeting. And so I inherited that 6.5-7 years ago, and so did these commissioners. And it just came to me that I said, we've got to change that. It's not appropriate anymore. So we're renaming that office to facilities. So that's what this one has to deal with. And item number 4C is request for job description addition in public health. We have a public health department that's come a long way in the last 6.5 years. We've made really good progress. They were in real danger. They were utilizing a lot of general fund dollars in order to maintain their service levels. And Diane Hoover's done a lot in that office to improve that from a fiscal standpoint. And then she's also really integrating public health into the community since the introduction of community care organizations. We've got 2 in Josephine County. And so there comes a point and a need where the day-to-day operations could be improved by including a deputy person in that office. In order to accommodate that at an appropriate level, there's a need for a description change in the public health director's position. So we're changing that here today and moving that to an NU 223. So that's the item on the consent calendar, item 4C. Entertain a motion to approve the consent calendar items A, B, and C.
I make that motion to approve the consent calendar item 4A, B, and C.
I'll second that. Any further discussion?
No, I'm really excited about C because Diane Hoover's done a fantastic job over there. And this will give her hand.
Yeah.
Give her hand, and if she happens to take a vacation and stuff,
well, she's really integrated into the community, doing a lot of different stuff, so it could be real positive. Also, the other thing with that is that there's very little longevity planning in our departments. We've had a tremendous amount of transition In the last 6.5 years, I think I've hired every manager we have minus two, veterans and public works. And back in the early 2000s, in the late 2000s, we did away with middle management, basically, in Josephine County as one of our efficiency measures in trying to streamline and reduce costs. So there's very few programs, really, that have that succession planning for the director. There's nobody who's really, as a job description, qualified to move into those managerial roles if the director should retire or leave the county. So this would afford us the opportunity to have some longevity. The real challenge in public health is the fact that the county doesn't have the resources. It's mostly state and federal funding that pays for that program. And the medical field and locally or statewide, it's pretty competitive as far as, pretty generous, I guess you would say, as far as salaries are concerned. So you're going to have to take a significant pay cut to come work for Josephine County, being a manager of a really challenging program. Or you could go work for the private sector as a CEO, director, what have you, and make probably twice as much. Maybe working half as hard with a lot more staff and resources. So it's a tough job, and we really appreciate everybody who works in our public health department, so especially our directors and leadership. Anything else?
And one thing about it, when I first came in office, I had a conversation with Diane Hoover, and I was unaware, but she was the captain, and full captain in the United States Navy. And when I was in the Navy, if you got those four bars on your shoulder, you were very, very, very smart. Very smart. You didn't get that. You didn't get there being stupid. That's for sure. So I have all the respect for her going in. So I'm proud to have her on board, and we're lucky to have somebody of that caliber in our appointment. So
please call the roll.
Commissioner DeYoung.
Yes.
Commissioner Hare.
Yes. Motion carries. 2-0. Any other items that should properly come before the board?
Not this time. I would like to have the discussion, and maybe we can do it at a date not too far from now. But there's a lot of interest out in the Illinois Valley for us to have, a weekly business session out there from time to time. So I think we would. I think I'd like to discuss that.
Our quarterly meeting's coming up in a week and a half. Not this next Monday, but the Monday after that. Maybe that's
a good time to bring that up.
Yeah.
Put it on the,
see what the people's interest. It's really waned over times. In fact, I think we've had some of our least attended meetings in the Illinois Valley over the summer. People are busy doing other things, especially in the evenings and such. So
I just want to extend the opportunity, because I know Commissioner Morgan and myself and also you, Chair, said, "Oh yeah, we'll come out to any kind of town meeting you want." And I went to one the other day. And I don't think it packs a wall having the full board there for a meeting. The people in the Illinois Valley sometimes, and there's a lot of folks out there, and they kind of think, we're out here and we have to drive to town. Well, I think it'd be really advantageous for us to go out to the Illinois Valley and have a regular meeting out there, so they can attend and make it an evening meeting or whatever it needs to be, and hear from the folks out there.
Sounds real good. I don't have anything. I think we're pretty close to being done. I got a conference call in a couple of minutes I got to be on. There's the new administration is working on a refined process of how they do resource management plans. And I'm not really sure why they're talking about it right now. I guess they're looking at a favorable lawsuit requiring them to do a new plan. And so that's something they're looking at. And I'm the designee from the ONC Association. There's 17 members of that that are, and I'm the vice president. And I was not, Josephine County elected not to be a cooperating agency. So there was 15 counties that elected to sign up with the BLM through their 3.5-year planning process to go through and try to be at the table. Those who were there would say that they got basically zero of their requests in through that process, so they don't feel like they were heard. And I didn't expect to be heard. There's a difference between a cooperating status and a coordinating status, and we were not afforded the opportunity to coordinate under FLIPMA Article 43. And so I was kind of like, well, you got to do that first by your own rules. You didn't do that. What makes me think you're going to do the cooperating agency? You're going to abide by that agreement. And so Jackson and Josephine County elected not to sign up as cooperating agencies. So it's a real interesting dynamic to have me part of the leading the charge through the administration, the Department of Interior's redo of their planning process. And one of the things that has not been talked about yet, but I'm going to bring up, is the at what point do you raise your hand and say, this isn't working, so you guys need to do something else, so you're not following these rules. All the rules in the world are great if they follow them. They didn't follow the rules the last time. So you rather than rewrite the rules, you really need to write in rules that say, if you don't do these things, you don't have the authority to sign off on a record of decision until the cooperating agencies sign off and say, yes, we've been heard, and these things have been met, and you followed all the rules and the laws, and that's okay. If you don't have something like that, I'm not interested in sitting down at the table again for them not to follow the rules again. So you've got to define some rules that are, hold their feet to the fire. I think that's what I'm looking to accomplish. So we'll see. This is their third or fourth conference call that we're doing with the Department of Interior, the lead person there. So hopefully there's a positive resolve at the end of this. But frankly, I think if you look back over history and time, what has changed federal forest management policy the most, unfortunately, it's been litigation. And I witnessed a congressional hearing. It was a subcommittee hearing, and it said that only 20% of all proposed plans of the BLM have been litigated. And that's fine. It only takes a couple of pieces of litigation to actually steer the whole rest of how the rest of them are developed. And so you don't have to sue on every single one of them if what your outcome is, or even if they're not held up by a judge. Just because you've litigated on that issue steers the agency into being gun-shy, so to speak, in how they're proposing their next plan. And it's unfortunate that litigation is really driving the boat and not policymakers anymore. So that's why the county's involved, and we're involved in probably 8 different lawsuits, but 3 of which have to do with the BLM and their forest management policies. And hopefully we'll get some resolve where we're at right now, and I think Councillor Hicks probably would be advantageous for this board and for the public to do a review of where we're at litigation-wise, but we're on the ONC plan, the resource management plan. We're looking for Judge Leon back in the D.C. District Court to make a ruling on venue. So we haven't even gotten to the point of him deciding, is the hearing, are these cases going to be heard in D.C. or in Eugene? The agency has petitioned Judge Leon to have them moved to Oregon, and that was really unfortunate that the administration didn't pull that request. That was something they could have done when the Trump administration came in, and it was done by the Obama administration, and it was not removed by the Trump administration, which kind of took some of us by surprise, because most of the cases and historically have been filed in the D.C. It's federal policy. It would be like filing somewhere other than Salem. If you're looking at legislation, you know, coming out of Salem, that's where you file, you know, where it's originating. And so that's the grounds for us petitioning that Judge Leon hear these cases. And we hope that he would make that ruling soon. So that's the BLM ONC update. Anything else? We're adjourned here at 9:44. Thank you all for attending.